Today's reading is from Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." This is the word of the Lord.
What better way to have kickoff Sunday to be reminded of the Great Commission? And this morning we have Pastor Jason Young with us to remind us of the importance of the Great Commission. He is the executive director of Alpha in Hong Kong. He's pastor of a church. He obviously loves the Lord and desires for people to know Jesus. And so we were greatly challenged this morning at the 9:45, and we are so glad that you're able to be with us to share God's word. Let's welcome Jason this morning.
Wonderful. Very excited to be here. Very thankful to be here. It's always an honor and privilege to speak to Union Church. Union Church is one of our oldest partners and oldest friends in Hong Kong. We've been working together, serving together, walking together for many, many years. I think actually this is the first church in Hong Kong to do Alpha. And so it's so good to be among family, friends, supporters. And also, I'm very grateful to be here because this morning I get to have a little bit time off from the kids. Now, I normally love being with my kids. I have three little kids. They're very, very young. Okay. Anyone here have young kids? Yeah? Okay. Only a few have the energy to raise their hands because the rest of you who have young kids just couldn't even get your hands up. I understand. But it's been I love being with my kids. I love the time alone with my kids. Usually on Sunday mornings, my shift. I love that time. But it's been a very long summer. All right. It's been a long summer. My kids aren't back at school yet. And so this is actually kind of for me, it's kind of like a, you know, apart from the treat of speaking to you guys, I get the treat of having a little bit of a break. So thank you so much for that. But I am excited to be here. I'm excited to get going and to jump straight in. By the way, earlier in the earlier service was one of the first times I think I ever got to wear that really cool robe. And I got to hold that really big Bible. And I just never felt so anointed in my life. I feel like I wore the robe. I was holding that huge Bible. No, I don't think I'm tired. Remember, I'm tired. I can't hold. But yeah, I'm feeling really anointed right now. I've carried the big Bible and the robes, and so I think I'm ready to jump into this. All right. So this passage, I love this passage. I feel like it's very, very relevant to all of us because it speaks to the spiritual needs and opportunities that all of us, I think, encounter regularly as Christians in the modern workplace and in the campus. Okay, so let me just highlight a few things from this passage quickly to show you what I mean. First of all, you see here we have this man, Zacchaeus. Now, this man clearly, he wants to meet with Jesus. And clearly, he needs to meet Jesus. I know that because he is a chief tax collector and he's wealthy. Now, I'm not saying that he needs Jesus because he's wealthy, but I'm saying that because he's a chief tax collector, we know that in that time, in that culture, in history, the chief tax collector would be a man who is greatly hated. Greatly hated. Right? He's taking their hard-earned money. He's cheating people out of their money. He's working for the Roman government, the Roman Empire, the oppressors of the people. So he's a man who is probably constantly rejected, constantly looked down upon, constantly maybe lonely, probably feeling a lot of brokenness inside. Okay, so he's a man who clearly needs Jesus. Okay, and in some ways, I think he's very similar to the people that we meet every day in our workplaces and on the campus, our classmates. Is that right? On the outside, they look like they have it all together. They may have money, they may have influence, a good job, you know, good grades, whatever. But on the inside, they're actually lonely. They're broken. They're hurting. They're poor spiritually. They have spiritual poverty on the inside. And so Zacchaeus, like our colleagues and our classmates, he desperately needs Jesus. And what's very interesting is that we see that he not only needs Jesus, he knows that he actually wants to meet Jesus. We see that he makes a lot of effort, right, to run ahead of the crowd, to climb up the tree. That's pretty dangerous, all right? I mean, I don't know if you've tried running in like sandals and in, you know, in cloaks and all that. I mean, it's and climbing up a tree. I mean, it's a lot of work. It's dangerous, okay? And he's a small guy. I'm guessing, you know, the branches are kind of hard for him to get all the way up there. But he's up there. He makes the effort. So clearly he wants to meet Jesus, all right? And again, this is actually quite similar to a lot of the people we meet every day. I get to work a lot with pastors normally, but also through Alpha, I get to work very closely with a lot of marketplace leaders and campus leaders. And again, I hear that now is the time, more than ever, that they see the people around them actually really hungry for Jesus. They actually want to meet Jesus. They want to have an encounter with him. They are asking questions about life. They do want to, in the midst of all the crazy current events and the political environment, they are seeking answers. They do want to know what their purpose in life is. What is their meaning? Why are they here? Right? So there are people all around us every day, just like Zacchaeus, who want to meet Jesus. So normally, When we encounter someone like that, right, like a Zacchaeus in our life, and they want to meet Jesus, what do we usually say to them? Well, we think, if he wants to meet Jesus, what can I do? What should I do? Ah, I need to bring him to church. That's where he's going to meet Jesus. Is that right? That's normally kind of the almost the automatic kind of knee-jerk response, right? It's like, okay, if someone wants to meet Jesus, we got to bring them to church. Let's think of a way to get them to church. You know, we either buy food or buy, you know, like maybe like a, you know, some sort of program or show, or, you know, we just make them feel bad. Somehow we got to make them, you know, get them to the church, right? So they can meet Jesus. Now, interesting thing is, all the research over the last, I'd say, 5-10 years, a lot of the research globally shows that trying to bring unchurched people who don't know Jesus, who are pre-believers, to church is actually increasingly more and more difficult. Globally, people are just more and more against coming to church, more and more disinterested in coming to church. Now, there are many, many reasons, and that's not the point of my talk today about why, but the point is that that's a reality, that's a fact. And two of the big reasons for that, main reasons for that, one is this cultural gap. The culture of conventional church versus the culture of the modern workplace or the campus is just, the gap is just increasingly growing and growing and growing. The things that people talk about, their interests, their languages, their vocabulary, their schedules, their lifestyles and experiences and the challenges that they face are just so different. It seems like they're totally in two different worlds. And many people who are outside of the church, they feel that, the things that people talk about in church maybe they're not even really relevant to me, or they don't really seem to make sense. They don't seem to be very practical. I don't feel very comfortable there. All right, so there's this cultural gap. And then secondly, there's also a generational gap. Because as we can see, again, all the studies show that millennials, any millennials here? Come on, you gotta be proud to be, raise your hand higher. Come on, a little higher, yeah! All right, millennials. All right, I'm actually not a millennial. I'm already 40. All right, so I'm already past that. But I still feel what millennials feel sometimes. All right, and a lot of times, as you know, as you look throughout society, especially even just in Hong Kong, you see that millennials are often very turned off towards anything institutional, whether it's government, church, anything, you know, the establishment. Right, and so again, we also see that there's a generational gap, where millennials aren't just not interested in going to church, okay? Now, I'm not saying that this is right or wrong or why. I'm not making excuses or any justifications, but it's just a reality. Even here in Hong Kong, very specific study that was just done just completed in the last month or so by the Bethel Bible Seminary in Hong Kong shows that even with over 1,300 churches in Hong Kong, and after many, many Christian programs and events over decades, there are still only just 5% of the Hong Kong population who are churchgoers. All right, so that means that 95% of the people in Hong Kong are just not interested in going to church. All right, or if they go, they don't stay. All right, that's what the study shows. Okay. So again, this is just a reality of kind of the times we are living in. All right, but I think it's also interesting that Jesus understood that, because Jesus obviously timeless, God timeless, understands things, past, present, future. We see here when Jesus sees Zacchaeus in the tree. All right, now this is a beautiful part of the story, right? Because Jesus, in the midst of his busyness, in the midst of the crowds, he's on his way to Jerusalem, you know, for the final act, right? He sees this man in the tree. He sees him and he stops everything and he tells him, come down from there. Today, I must go to your house. I must fellowship with you. So that's very, very beautiful. Jesus sees him even when no one sees him and no one wants to see him. When he's basically ignored by everyone else, Jesus sees him. Now, Jesus obviously knows that Zacchaeus wants to meet him. So what does he say to him? Zacchaeus. Does he say, Zacchaeus, come down and come this Saturday to the synagogue and we can hang out? Or does he say, Zacchaeus, come down. Hey, you know what? There's this great Bible reading time, scripture reading time in the temple this weekend. You should really come, and then we can hang out. Then we can meet, we can talk. Does he say that? No, he doesn't say that. What does Jesus say? He says, Jesus decides to go to this man's home. What does that mean? Jesus decides to go to a place where this man feels comfortable and safe, where things are natural for him, right? Nothing forced. It's his comfort zone. And he just goes there to eat with him, fellowship with him, care for him, listen to him, just to be with this man. If you think about it, this is an incredible act of grace and love. Jesus knows that this man would feel very uncomfortable. Zacchaeus would be very uncomfortable in the temple or the synagogue, right? He would not be welcome there. He would be judged there. And so Jesus, out of his mercy and his grace, says, you know, I'm going to go to you. I'm going to come to you where you feel safe, where you feel comfortable. And what happens? Wow. Zacchaeus' life is transformed, right? There was no Bible study. There was no Jesus, you know, telling him you got to change, or, you know, hey, Zacchaeus, you know what? You can't act like this. You know, hey, you got to get your act together, all these different things. He didn't make him take a 101 class or anything like that. Because Zacchaeus encountered the grace of God in a real, tangible, powerful way, the love of the Father reaching out to him, he repented, right? And that's what the scripture tells us. His kindness leads us to repentance. It's his goodness. He experienced the goodness of God through Jesus entering his world, reaching out to him. Zacchaeus' life was totally transformed. And not only was he saved, he says, this household today receives salvation. And also, he decides to become a blessing. He wants to, you know, restoration. He decides he wants to be a blessing to others as well. Wow, it's amazing. Clearly, this life has been touched by God in a special, special way. Verse 10, moving onward, we see that Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. Today, Jesus said, salvation has come to this house because this man, too, is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. So whether it's prostitutes, lepers, Samaritans, or sinners, Jesus never expected or required them to come to the temple, the synagogue, to meet with him. He would always go. He would always go and enter their world to meet with them. In fact, this has always been and always will be the nature of who God is. It's who he is and what he loves to do. One of my favorite verses, John 1, verse 14, right? Talks about the word became flesh and made his dwelling in our midst. That's the NIV version. But I love the Message version even better for this context. It says, the word became flesh and blood and then moved into our neighborhood. That picture is so beautiful, right? That Jesus became real and tangible, and then he entered into our world. He entered into our story, into our daily life. Jesus didn't ask us or require us to go to heaven. He decided to bring heaven to us, right? That's why he said, I come to preach the gospel of the kingdom, right? The gospel of heaven, the kingdom of heaven is near. Jesus came to bring us heaven, to bring us God's love, to bring us salvation. So this is the heart of Jesus, the heart of a missionary, to go, to leave the 99 for the one, to leave our comfort zone and to enter their comfort zone, to seek and to save the lost. So brothers and sisters, as his followers and as ambassadors, we need a renewed mindset. We need to have a paradigm shift, okay? Instead of just trying to bring people to church, it's time that we start bringing Jesus and the church to people right where they're at. Let me say that again. This is a very, if you don't remember anything else I say today, just try to remember this part, okay? All right. Instead of just trying to, so I'm not saying don't bring people to church. All right, I myself am a pastor. It's wonderful to bring people to church. We love seeing all of you here. Please keep coming and tithing and serving and doing all those different things. That's wonderful. That's very good. But don't just bring people to church. It's time that we start bringing Jesus and the church to people right where they're at. If we are to reach the 95% of people in Hong Kong who are most likely not going to set foot in a church or stay in a church, every single one of us need to begin to embrace and walk in our God-given calling to be a missionary and a minister wherever God has placed us. Because the reality is that we are all surrounded by Zacchaeus's every day. Every day. People who walk around the streets of Hong Kong, in our offices, in our campuses, on the streets, who look fine on the outside, but inside, they are desperate for Jesus. They need an encounter, a tangible encounter with Jesus and the love of God. And that's what we have been called to do, to be that, to actually, like Jesus, become the word, the gospel in the flesh, and to enter their world. So it's time for all of us to get in the game, to do our part in fulfilling the Great Commission, and to seek and save the lost. It's time for us to become a church on the go. So what does this look like for us practically? Okay, how do we get involved, right? Because you probably, hopefully, agree with what I'm saying. And you say, okay, Jason, that sounds good, but how do I get involved? Well, I'll just give you just one example of many. There are many, many stories of how God is raising up and sending out everyday Christians to do, and I don't even like that term, everyday Christians. We're all, have you guys realized that every single one of us has the same spirit, the Holy Spirit inside of you is the same Holy Spirit inside of Jesus. It's the same Holy Spirit inside of Pastor Michelle. We all have the same Holy Spirit. It's not a junior Holy Spirit, okay? If you don't have if you're not a full-time minister, right? It's the same Holy Spirit inside of us. So I love the fact that there's so many people who are starting to understand their calling and their identity that God's given them, the authority they've been given by God to go and to do what Jesus did and even greater things, as he talked about in John 14, right? So what does that look like? One quick example. A young man named Leo, he's an insurance agent, and he's early 30s, and he comes from a local Chinese church in Tai Po, very traditional, and he's been trying for ages to reach his friends and his colleagues and also even his clients to bring them to church. And again, rejected, didn't work out, the door closed, it just wasn't working. And so he heard about Alpha Anywhere, which is this vision, this concept that we have, which is very simple, that anyone, anytime, anywhere can introduce their friends to Jesus with a simple tool, effective tool like Alpha, all right? And so he just stepped out in faith, went and started two Alpha Anywheres. He downloaded the videos, and he just started two different groups. And at the end of those groups, he had about 40 new believers. 40 new believers. And then he's like, okay, this is a problem, a good problem. What do I do with these people? So he talked to his pastor. Long story short, his pastor was very kingdom-minded and said, you know what? These were his clients. A lot of them were his clients. So they were young professionals, you know, bankers, lawyers, accountants, you know, these types. And he said, you know, these people most likely will not want to come to Taipo, to our fishing village church. So why don't you go and start a gathering on Friday nights in TST, in Tsim Sha Tsui, right under Knutsford Terrace. That's where they're meeting. And so he's like, okay, great. And so that's where they meet now. Every Friday night, it's grown from about 40 to about, I think, like 60 to 80 people. And they just do basic Acts 2 type of simple, you know, early church type of stuff. They fellowship together. They study the word. And then they share testimonies and worship together. And it's just exploding because a lot of these are new believers. And so, you know, you tell them, hey, if you pray for people, they'll get healed. You know, if you share the gospel with your friends and family, their lives will be transformed. And they're new believers, so they actually, you know, they believe. They actually believe. You know, they actually go and do it. You know, they actually believe that what the Bible says is true. You know, what Jesus did is possible and what the disciples did is possible. So they actually go do it. And so they're starting to see people getting healed. They go into hospitals and their family, you know, who have cancer. People, coming out of the hospital wards. You know, people in their family who've been worshiping, you know, idols for generations coming to the Lord. They're seeing all types of miracles. Miracles, signs and wonders, testimonies, just the beginnings of revival in some sense, like a little mini revival in their circle. And because of that, other Christian insurance agents started hearing about what was happening with this group, Leo and his friends, and they said, you know what, if they can do it, we can do it too. And so they started gathering together and sharing this vision, sharing these testimonies. And this Saturday, there will be several hundred Christian insurance agents coming together to seek the Lord and to also to think about, plan and actually mobilize how can we reach, use the network that God's given us, the influence that God's given us, the resources he's given us, the mobility he's given us to bring Jesus, to bring the church to people in Hong Kong, all over Hong Kong. And it's beautiful. So this is just the insurance industry. I don't have time to tell you about how God has been moving in the accounting industry, the finance industry, the medical industry, the fashion industry, the airline industry. Just all over Hong Kong, we're seeing people starting to rise up and to take up their God-given calling, their mandate, that joy and privilege to partner with God to advance his kingdom throughout the city. So it's really, really beautiful. Like I said, there's many, many more stories. I don't have time to share those. But I want to encourage you that there's three things you can do very simply to get involved. All right, in this move of God. It's really a God thing, all right? It's not about Alpha. But one thing you can do is to participate. The first thing, participate. There's, I think, Alpha coming up very soon in Union Church. Please get involved. You can participate, all right? Second thing is please pray for us. Pray for Alpha Hong Kong. Pray for this new marketplace missions movement that is that God has birthed. There needs to be a lot of prayer because, as you know, when you're fighting on the front lines, basically spiritual Goliaths every day in the marketplace, in the campus, there needs to be a lot of prayer support. So please pray as well. And then thirdly, you can also provide, all right? Just briefly, there's all these things here that you can look at that talks about ways that you can support how Alpha, God is using Alpha to train up more campus leaders, church leaders, marketplace leaders to advance his kingdom all throughout the city. All right, and so that's another way you can get involved. But remember, being missional doesn't mean that you need to get involved with Alpha in any way. It could just be as simple as inviting your new mainland Chinese colleague out for drinks with your friends. Okay, it could be as simple as giving a kind or encouraging word to the boss that nobody likes. It could be as simple as spending a little extra time of yours to help the intimidated intern. Okay, to get comfortable and confident with his new or her new surroundings. What matters the most is that you have God's heart to seek out and reach out to the Zacchaeuses all around you, bringing his love and his grace in a tangible way into their lives. As long as we're willing to go, he is more than able to use our ordinary lives to bring an extraordinary blessing to the world around us. What a joy and a privilege to partner with God and each other in this awesome an eternal work. And what I want to do now is just to close by reading Isaiah 61, 1 to 3, together as a declaration and a reminder of what Jesus came to do for us 2,000 years ago. Right? So when you read Isaiah 61, 1 to 3, first do it with a thankful heart. Thank you, Jesus, for coming to do this for me. But also when you read it and declare it, I want you to remember that this is also what God wants to do through us today, here and now, in this city. Because the way God works oftentimes is what he does for us and what he does in us, he then wants to release through us into the world around us for his kingdom and for his glory. And so can we read this together as a serious, somber, and a powerful declaration of God's word over our lives? All right. Oh, sorry, it's not in the...
Because I think we do need to declare it, so...
Yes, let's declare it together.
And I know we don't have it memorized.
Oh, what?
We're working on it.
Pastor Michelle does, I know, though. Okay, so... All right. So Isaiah 61, 1 to 3, the NIV version. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. Can I invite all of us just to close our eyes, and I just want to close with a prayer. Yeah. I first just want to pray for those who today feel like you actually feel more like Zacchaeus than you do like Jesus. You feel like someone who is not understood, is not welcome. You feel lonely. Maybe you feel lost. And today I just want to bless you to know that Jesus sees you in that tree. He sees you and you're not alone. And that Jesus, he will meet with you. And he wants to encounter you and to be with you and to pour out his love and his kindness over you. He knows you, he sees you, and he loves you very, very much. Yeah. And I also want to pray for all of us here who are surrounded every day by Zacchaeuses. Father, we thank you that we love because you first loved us. You are good and kind and faithful and gentle and merciful to us. And because of that, we have the joy and the privilege of releasing that same goodness and that kindness and that mercy and that grace into the world around us. But first, we need your heart, God. I pray, Lord, that you would give us your heart, Jesus, the heart of a missionary. Give us your passion for the lost and the broken. God, give us your courage that we would leave our comfort zone. We would be willing to enter the darkness to be the light. And Lord, give us faith to know that you are always with us and working through us, no matter where we go and what we do. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege and the honor of partnering with you and joining you in what you're already doing on this earth. Thank you, Lord. May your kingdom come and your will be done in Hong Kong as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.